Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 10, Day 2. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 20, 19 through 31. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 10. As we approach the end of the book of John this week, I want to invite you to be a part of the launch of the 10-Week Bible study on the book of John. The book should be available for purchase in a couple months, and I think it'll bless your study of God's Word. If you'd like to be notified when it comes out, please go to my website, darrenhibbs.com, and sign up for my mailing list. The books of Acts and Revelation are currently available for purchase on amazon.com. You can find easy links to purchase them at 10weekbible.com. Let's pray before we get started today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say today? Speak to us. We want to know you more, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is John 20, verses 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I've always been fascinated by how Jesus got in the room. How did Jesus just kind of appear through the walls? You know, I'm sure he could have done this at any point. You know, he probably could have done this before his resurrection, but now he seems to be making a very interesting point. And there's something just very different about Jesus now. He seems to be just kind of appearing and disappearing. And what amazes me is, why isn't Jesus with his disciples now that he's resurrected? Why is he only appearing to them on occasion? Why doesn't he come back and spend a lot of time with them like he did before? Why the, why come and go like this and visit them so infrequently? This is really intriguing to me. And I've always wondered, you know, is this Jesus making the point, kind of this transition time to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit will come in full and in power? Is he kind of transitioning them to understand that it's better that he goes away, that he's not going to be there? And so he's kind of leaving them on their own more and more with this charge is that I'm sending you. Now, the interesting thing here is that he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," after he breathes on them. And so what is intriguing to me here is, did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit right now? Or did it come at Pentecost? And are there two iterations? It seems like Jesus is actually bestowing the Holy Spirit on them right now at this moment, but that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes as a separate event on the day of Pentecost. Now, that's a very common charismatic and Pentecostal understanding, and there's varying levels of scriptural support for bestowing and baptism of the Holy Spirit being one or two events. I personally believe it's two events because of things like this. I believe that when we accept Jesus, that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, but that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not necessarily the same event. Now, I've heard there's a great missionary named Jackie Pullinger who one time said that, you Americans have it all backwards. You make it into to two separate events. You know, why not just pray for people who have received Jesus to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just make it all one? I like that idea instead of splitting hairs over how exactly biblically it works, why not just when people pray to receive Jesus, pray to receive the Holy Spirit as well? That takes all of the questions out of it. But anyway, this is very intriguing to me that he tells them that they receive the Holy Spirit right now. And so the working of the Holy Spirit is something that's fascinating to me And I think it's fascinating in the book of John because Jesus says a little bit about the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't say much. And maybe he told the disciples more than what John recorded, but it's very interesting because the information is so sparse about the working of the Holy Spirit other than to know that he's coming. And I think that's one of the most powerful aspects of life as a Christian, is that we have the Holy Spirit with us to teach us and guide us. Jesus didn't fill in all the blanks when he was here. The Gospels don't have everything we need to live our lives. Now, they're the foundation for what we have. But you can't find it anywhere in the Bible if you should take this job or move to this city or buy this house or buy that car or whatever, you know, like that. It's not there, but the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us. And I think that's so amazing and so powerful. And it's something we should be cognizant of. It's something we should engage in. We should be asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us and lead us and guide us. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I think it's interesting here that Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rap. I mean, Jesus does tell Thomas specifically to stop doubting. But if you put yourself in Thomas's position, the claims, I mean, he wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time. The claims are a bit incredulous, aren't they? That Jesus has risen from the dead of his own accord. I mean, they've all seen that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And they must have reports now, like the other Gospels tell us, that during the crucifixion of Jesus, and there was an earthquake, and dead people actually came out of their tombs. All of this information had to have been kind of stirring around now. But still, Jesus was the one who did the resurrecting. He was the one that raised people from the dead. So it's a bit incredulous to say, well, Jesus has risen from the dead of his own accord. Like, who was there to raise him from the dead? In some way, all of the disciples were a bit doubting until they met him themselves. I mean, John said up front in the previous passage that we read yesterday that after Peter and John went to the tomb, they went back and they didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead yet. So they still didn't understand this. So Thomas gets a little bit of the brunt of what all of the disciples were going through. But Thomas was someone who wasn't going to take their word for it. And Jesus says something very interesting here, as he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." That's us. That's most everybody throughout human history have not seen the resurrected Jesus, yet have believed, or most believers, I should say, throughout human history, have not seen the resurrected Jesus, yet have believed on the word of these men's testimony and the testimony of other people. I think that's powerful. I mean, Jesus says that there is a blessing for us. And it sounds like in some way greater than the blessing that the disciples received from having spent time with Jesus and having known them, that there is a blessing, a special blessing for those who have never seen Jesus, yet believe on the word of others' testimony. And I believe that the promised Holy Spirit, that guide, that comforter, that advocate, that teacher that Jesus has given us, the Holy Spirit, testifies to Jesus and the things that he says and does. And I think that's powerful. I don't think we receive the Holy Spirit before we accept Jesus. I can say that confidently. We don't. And so to believe in Jesus, the Father does draw us, but we have to do it without any great illumination, without any Holy Spirit understanding. And so that's something very powerful. And that moves the heart of God, that people would say yes to him without any illumination in their spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit yet. And so believing in him without having seen him first, without having tasted the Holy Spirit, that's powerful. And that moves God. That matters to God. And we know that after we accept Jesus, we can receive the promised Holy Spirit. And he does illuminate and teach us. He illuminates our heart and he teaches us about Jesus, about the things that Jesus testifies and what he did and what he says. But before then, I believe God is telling Thomas here, this is serious to me. I take this is a big deal that people would believe without having seen me, without having to put their hands in my hands and my side. Now, one day we will have the opportunity to see Jesus face to face. And if we so choose to put our hands, in his side. But right now, we are blessed if we believe in him on the word or the testimony of those that Jesus has sent out. Verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John right here gives us the most concise statement on why he wrote his book. And that's that, hey, there's a lot of other stuff I could have written about Jesus. The last chapter reiterates that point. He says, you know, if we had written down everything that Jesus did while he was here on earth, all of the books in the world couldn't contain it. So John is telling us very specifically that what he has written is handpicked to make a point. It's handpicked to express to us the point of the book, and that is very simply that Jesus is the Messiah, number one, and number two, he's the Son of God. He is the Messiah and divine. And remember, we've talked about this throughout this this Bible study, is that the prevailing understanding of the Messiah was that he was a man, not God. He's one or the other, but not both. Jesus, or the Messiah, is a warrior king who's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, but he's not divine. And John is saying, no, he's both and. The Messiah is divine. He is God. And that is the point of the book. So that's it for today. I appreciate you listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. As always, I love it when you leave a review for me on iTunes, and I'd love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.